This is an ABC podcast.
My heart is still here and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And yeah, I'm just so proud that I get to go on for another year.
That's Lance Buddy Franklin announcing he'll play another year with the Sydney Swans. Brisbane Lions? Nope. Retirement? Forget about it. He will play his sixth grand final on Saturday and reload for a 19th season. Remember when some thought the Franklin contract was crazy long? Turns out it was at least a year short. This story has a lot of threads, and we're going to try and unravel all of them. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Today we're going to look at the Franklin story from two perspectives. We'll look at Franklin the player with ex-Swan Ted Richards, and we'll look at Franklin the person with former housemate and Magpie Sherrod Wellingham. Sherrod, we all get to watch Franklin, but few get to know him. He's a bit of a contradiction in that sense, a private superstar. What's he like as a person?
I think you summed it up very well there. He is a very private person, but I think the person that you see on the field is a result of how good he is as a player. He loves the limelight. He loves performing well.
Lance Franklin moves in, got a couple, and he's still capable of being Buddy.
But then doesn't quite like the limelight when he is away from the field. But in terms of him as a person, he's a very family-oriented person. You know, his mum and dad were massive for him during his childhood and coming up playing sport, football, obviously primarily. But he's also got, you know, five beautiful sisters who have played a big role in his life as well. And they're all really close. And now with him kind of having his own family with his beautiful son and daughter and a beautiful wife in Jess, you know, you really do see how much of a family-oriented person he is. And I think Jess has played a huge part in his personal development and his growing as a person and into the respectful and gentle man that he is. He doesn't really like doing too many interviews, as I'm sure you are very well aware, but In terms of how he is able to go out on the field and then be this rock star, it's a pretty amazing trait of his that he can kind of go out there and control the game in terms of his impact, but also his presence on the field. It's two pretty different personalities that the public does see. Or doesn't see, I suppose.
Sherrod, there are a few people who can fully understand the Franklin experience like you because you lived with him in Melbourne. What was life like for Lance inside the Melbourne bubble?
Yeah, I think the Melbourne bubble is what made Bud probably a little bit private in terms of what he did away from on the field and at his times at the footy club. The Melbourne bubble can be so consuming. I mean, Bud loves reading the paper and reading about everything that's going on in footy, but he doesn't want it to be all about him. He still enjoys watching games of footy. You know, we'd be sitting on the couch most weekends after both of us had played and we'd be watching all the talk back, you know, watching all of the other games that were going on for the round. He's always across what everyone is doing in the AFL. But yeah, I think the bubble of Melbourne is part of the reason he did go to Sydney, and he loves the different lifestyle in Sydney because he is someone who likes being able to go and have a beer and hang out with his mates, but he doesn't want people gawking in through the window. He just wants to be able to kind of do that privately. So yeah, the Melbourne bubble probably made him the private and not, I don't want to say reclusive because he's not reclusive. He still loves going out and having a good time, but being away from the prying eyes, I suppose.
Do you think the less obsessed nature of Sydney compared to Melbourne has allowed him to have that longevity that he has achieved now?
Absolutely. I think it's played a big part in it. You know, he can go and play his game and Sydney still, especially the impact that he's had on the football market up there, it's still a really strong football supporter base up there.
The football, even in the last year or two, like, it's just growing. It's continuing to grow. We've got such loyal supporters at this football club. And yeah, Sydney's just really behind us and we can really feel it.
And so he can go and get that fulfillment in terms of going and playing in front of big crowds at the SCG. He absolutely loves the crowds that they get at the SCG. For him to then be able to switch off and go down to the beach and just be able to go for a swim on a Sunday after playing has been really good for him and probably has contributed to his longevity playing for hopefully a little bit longer.
Thanks to Sherrod Wellingham. From a player's perspective, we'll bring in Ted Richards. Ted, it's been a decade since you played on Franklin in a grand final. The next year, he was your teammate. When he signed a 9-year deal, did you think that was a bit optimistic at the time?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit optimistic, like in terms of seeing it out.
When I first got here, people were knocking that I wouldn't get there, I wouldn't make it. I'd play for 4 or 5 years and that'd be it. So I've definitely proved them wrong, haven't I?
But I thought the carrot was worth it. because it was all about, you know, getting him over the prime of his career, which is the next 5 or 6 years. He would have to pay overs to get the best player in the competition for that. I didn't really care what years 8 or 9 looked like.
And so now that we're heading for a 10th, what's your reaction?
I would have viewed that there was no chance that that was going to happen, maybe a 1% chance. So a credit to him that he's been able to make his body, you know, get into this stage.
As I said, like, I've been playing for 18 years. It's a long time in the game.
And not just, you know, games, but he's played a lot injured. And normally that erodes your ability to kind of have that duration that he's getting and extending his career. So it's an absolute credit to him that he's been able to squeeze another year out.
You've lived both sides of the coin. You've had to play on him in massive games and you've got to play with him in massive games. What about him as a player makes him such a handful? Because I suspect it extends well beyond just the physical mechanics. It feels like he's worth more than the sum of his parts.
Yeah, well, what is a home ground advantage? Take it back a step. A home ground advantage is to be able, the ability to get the crowd on your side and feed off that energy that they can do. Well, when you've got Buddy on your side, entertaining the crowd, it's almost like that you get an extra 20 or 30%.
He's done it! A legend joins the immortals and achieves a feat we'll likely never see again, and the fans have rushed the SCG.
Especially in Sydney, because a lot of people that are relatively new to AFL just come to watch Buddy. You know, they haven't had the decades, and they're not as rusted on as possibly, you know, in other states. So to answer the question, you know, what does he do? Is he brings an energy on game day that other players don't have. And as teammates, we can feed off that. You know, sometimes we might even just be spectators, and especially me, full back, watching what he's doing at the other end of the ground. It's some of the best memories I've had in football is just watching him from afar and going, that's my teammate. And sometimes on the other side of that coin, going, wow, that's my opponent. And there's a fair chance he's going to embarrass me today if he keeps doing this all game.
You lived the experience before and after, as I said. What did you see from a tangible point of view as to how he impacted the club?
I think the first sign was we had people queuing out the front of the club when he just walked in possibly November or something like that for a photo opportunity and wearing a Swans polo. That just doesn't happen in the Sydney market. So that was kind of the first sign that he's bringing a real attention to us that we hadn't had before. Once the number 23 was determined that was what he was wearing at the Swans, you quickly see that a lot of the famous Swans players we've had over the past, you know, the Adam Goods is champion and other champions of the game, it was very much about Buddy and number 23 and young kids jumping on and getting on the Swans purely off the back of they know Buddy and they love him.
He was asked today if he needs a flag at the Swans to absolutely cement his legacy at the club.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice.
What's your view on that, Ted?
It's normally journalists that say that, and I think it's a lazy form of journalism in that it's probably an American view that sometimes basketballers like LeBron move around, and when a basketballer moves around and they're on the court, they make up 20% of the team's output, being just with the 5 players on the field. So if LeBron can kind of double his impact on the court, he goes from being 20% of the team's output to 40%. Buddy's 1 in 18 players on the field. You know, we've also got 4 on the bench, so 1 in 22. So Buddy represents somewhere between 4, 5, 6% of what the team should contribute to the game. And let's say Buddy plays out of his skin and doubles that. Now he's around 10%. It's very different games, and Buddy's done so much at an individual level. All Australians, Coleman's, I believe, and polling so well in best and fairest. No, up to this date, he may not have won the premiership, but that doesn't mean that other players that haven't had phenomenal careers that haven't won a premiership to failures too. Like St Kilda used pick number 1 on Nick Riewoldt. Nick Riewoldt was a champion of the game. Was that a failure that in St Kilda picking Nick Riewoldt because they didn't win a premiership? Well, you'd be a fool to suggest that. Swans have made a great choice in getting Buddy, and it's been a success for so many reasons, on-field and off-field.
There was noise about Franklin possibly moving to the Lions. What do you think it means to Swans fans that he will likely finish his career in red and white?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that's just to do with legacy. I think forever he will be known as a Hawks and Swans great. Sometimes players can kind of finish off it for one or two years, and it somewhat dilutes that legacy, but I'm pretty sure that there's not going to be an 11th year.
Hopefully we can have this conversation next year. As I said, it's that passion and drive that still drive me to get out there. And as I said, once that's gone, then I'll be done.
For the whole of next year, there can be a rightful and well-deserved party in celebrating Buddy and hopefully sending him off on a high note.
It will mean 10 years in Sydney and 9 with Hawthorn. Does it cement him as a Swan? Or is he more of a Hawk because of his premiership success? Do you have a sort of stake in the fight for Franklin's footballing soul?
Certainly have a stake. I just don't feel like it has to be binary, one or the other. He's a great of Hawthorn. And Hawthorn, when Buddy plays, when we play against it, should celebrate him because of what he did for that club and the decade that he gave that club. And equally so, at the Swans. People can debate who he might have played better football for. But, you know, if we kind of zoom out at Buddy and maybe look at someone else, if you're having the same discussion about Chris Judd and West Coast and Carlton, Chris Judd has been a great for both those teams. And both teams have a right to be incredibly proud of what they've done. And I don't see it being any difference for Buddy.
A big thanks to Ted Richards and Sherrod Wellingham for those insights. Headlines. In the NRL, South Sydney winger Alex Johnston's trying to overcome a hip flexor injury in time to take on the Panthers in the Bunnies' must-win final. Cricket. And Shelley Nitschke has been confirmed as head coach of the Australian women's team. She replaces Matthew Mott, who's gone on to coach the English men's limited overs sides. Nitschke's been in the role in an interim capacity since May and helped Australia to Commonwealth Games gold. Chess star Magnus Carlsen has inflamed the cheating scandal engrossing the sport. He resigned after one move while playing his nemesis, Hans Niemann. If what I just said makes absolutely no sense, you should go and listen to our episode on chess. I know chess might be considered dull. This story is anything but. I'm Patrick Stack, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. If you're fired up for the AFL Grand Final after hearing all about Lance Franklin, a reminder to tune into our live coverage on ABC local radio. Clint Wilden and Corbin Middlemass will call the action from the MCG. It'll be ad-free, and it will be excellent.
Hi, I'm Kurt Fernley, Paralympian and proud person with a disability.
And I'm Sarah Shands, mum of a bright, bubbly, hilarious kid with a disability.
Fabulous.
We're the hosts of a new ABC podcast called Let Us In. Each week, we'll speak with people from around Australia to find out what it's like to live with a disability.
Feels like I've been kicked in the guts.
Every time I arrive at the airport, I turn into someone I don't like.
Let Us In. There's a new episode out every Wednesday on the ABC Listen app.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.